I never felt so unmotivated. I've fallen in a slump and can't get out.
Hello everyone and welcome to the Real Real Estate Show. My name is Jay Izzo and I am your host live from the Linda Craft and Tatum Studios here in the Research Triangle Park of Raleigh, North Carolina. And you know what? This show is about real estate and it's real estate matters that matter to you. We are going to interview some of the brightest and best experts in the area of real estate. Yes, residential real estate. We're going to talk about things that matter to you most. Let's talk about the market. Let's talk about what's going with sellers, buyers, and then let's bring in a special guest and we're going to talk about something that's going to matter to you that's related to real estate that maybe you're not thinking about. Now, as we get started, and this is our first show, I am very, very excited to bring with you my first guest, and his name is Tony Fink, and Tony is with Linda Craft and Team Realtors. He is a listing specialist and a buyer specialist for Linda Craft and Team, and we're going to start off the show. This is where we're going to do it every week, and that is we're going to talk about what's going on in the real estate market in general, and so, Tony, what is going on right now in the real estate market?
Well, Jay, that's a great question. So the real estate market is doing quite well, but it's a shifting market.
Okay.
And if you look back at ratios for the last 12 to 18 months, or if you look locally, what happened was the market got super competitive, possibly heated. Mm. And what's happening now is it's kind of leveling off a little bit. Okay. We think of it as a balancing or a shifting, but by no means is it a buyer's market.
So it still is a seller's market because it's been that way. Now, interest rates have been down, during that, but now we're starting to see interest rates creep up. Are we starting to, is that part of the reason for the change or there's some other things going on there?
Yeah, there's a couple of things. So there's three primary things that have gone on. First of all is price increases. Mm. So when you look on a year over year basis in this market, prices are up anywhere from 25 to 33%. So it takes a while for consumers, purchasers to acclimate to that. Then add on top of that, interest rates have gone from about 2.6 last year to about 5.3% this year. So again, it takes some time to acclimate to that. And the growth in interest rates over the last 90 days has been pretty significant. The third thing, which is why the market's balancing out, and I have an important point on this for you, is inventory levels. While there are still more buyers than there are houses to be bought, inventory levels have grown. So right now, when you look at our local MLS, 30% of the homes that are listed, there's over 15,000 that are listed, are available for purchase. If I go back to January, that ratio was less than 14%.
Mm.
So buyers are becoming a little more patient,
okay,
a little more normalized. Mm. And what a lot of sellers need to understand if you're thinking about selling your house is ultimately buyers always set market pricing. Agents can give guidance, tell people what's happening. Sellers can have their own perspective on value.
Right.
But ultimately, the house only trades if a buyer sees value in it.
Right. So what has been, in your experience, you know, based on this new kind of, I guess, can we call it normalizing the market maybe? Is it?
Yeah, I would say it's very much a normalized market with still a little bit of a leverage edge to the sellers.
All right.
But it's more akin to a 2017, 2018, 2019 market versus the pandemic market, which was a heavy focus on home ownership, stay at home, hunker down. Type of situation.
So, but still, you know, now I'm going to talk about if I was a first time home buyer in this market, it seems like this might be kind of tough as a first time home buyer type of market. Is that what you're seeing too?
Yeah, it is. But I will tell you, and personally, I've owned 13 homes and sold 11, and that's all before I became a real estate agent. And my most memorable purchase ever was my first home purchase.
Okay. Right.
So anytime you're a first time home buyer, it always is a little more traumatic, a little more uncertain. You're not exactly sure what's happening. And that's why working with really experienced agents and firms can help you guide through that process.
So I mean, because, you know, interest rates have gone up and I'm a first time home buyer and prices have gone up. Is there a strategy I might want to, you know, a tactic or a strategy I may need to employ here?
Yeah. So the first is I'd say really understand why you're a buyer and why you want to be a homeowner and understand that home ownership is probably the easiest way over time for most Americans to create wealth.
Okay.
And by wealth, I mean family wealth.
Sure.
So to me, if you're renting and you've rented for an extended period of time, and the difference now, when I bought my first home, I was 21, 22, right, maybe 23. A lot of my first home buyers, and I work with a lot of them, they're in their 30s. So there's a different dynamic maturity level, and there's a different dynamic. So your question was, right, what should I think about if, right, I'm going to take that leap, right, of home ownership? Is the first thing is understand your income profile and how stable that is.
Okay.
And for a lot of first-time home buyers, you have to stretch. But what they don't realize, and that might be what you're asking about as well on pricing, is that if you qualify for rent in an apartment complex,
right,
they're going to qualify you from 30 to 40% of your income.
Oh.
A lender, when you're purchasing a home, is going to qualify you anywhere from 26% to maybe 36%.
Got it.
They can go higher. So as a first-time home buyer, if you're used to paying 40% of your income towards your housing costs, don't let that scare you out of home ownership, because the only way you get to participate in equity creation,
right,
appreciation in a market, is if you own the asset.
Got it. All right, so let's shift to the other side. Let's go to the luxury market for a little bit here.
Sure.
Okay. So what are we seeing in the luxury market right now? Are we seeing something different there?
Yeah, so the luxury market, especially in this market, because we have a rising demographic through organic population growth and migration growth, mm-hmm, but we also have a rising demographic from income profile. So I moved here in 2010, and the income profile in 2022 versus 2010 is materially different,
right,
with portability of jobs, with job growth in the market, and with a change in the dynamic of the jobs from a lot of technology jobs, a lot of healthcare jobs. Mm-hmm. So the luxury market is actually a crowded market.
Oh, wow.
It's actually a very competitive market. And part of the reason for that is the input costs that go into luxury homes, lumber, finishes, all those things, plus land price, mm-hmm, has gone up pretty significantly. So those homes, by comparison, a resale home is going to be somewhere in the 200 to 275 a square foot range. New construction luxury is going to be 350 and above. Mm. So when you apply that to square footages, you can see where the pressure points are.
Right. So let me ask you this. I know that you're more in tune with what's going on here in the Ralph, we see your message there on the screen. Ralph Sigler, thanks for viewing us here on LinkedIn. Tony's going to reach out to you right after the show, right after that. So Tony, let's then talk about, I know you keep your eye on the market around, and you've lived all over the country. Mm-hmm. Do you find in your research that one part of the United States is a little different than the other, or have you noticed anything different, or is it all pretty much the same?
No, each real estate market, and you're going to hear this, is local. And that's very true. Mm. And what makes it local is what's happening dynamic wise, income levels, demand-wise, population, and also on supply side. So real estate's a very complicated thing. It's also very simple. It's basically supply and demand.
Right.
So nationally, certain markets are actually experiencing the opposite of the triangle, which is a migration out,
right,
people leaving. Usually what causes that to happen is lack of employment or high tax,
right,
okay, income tax and or real estate taxes. The Raleigh area, the North Carolina market, the Triangle market is actually a very favorable place to move to. The tax rates are relatively easy compared to other higher expensive markets. And you get a lot of home for your value here. So that's one of the big factors. I'd say nationally, I have a lot of relocation clients that come out of the West Coast, the Bay Area, Seattle area. Now, why are they moving? They're moving here primarily because of growth in tech jobs. And they're moving here because of growth in healthcare jobs. For them, this is an easy move when they're selling a home and buying a home, or if they were a renter and they're going to buy here, because cost of ownership here compared to California is very, very favorable. Comparatively, if I have relocation clients, which I have quite a few moving out of the Illinois market, Chicago in particular, they're moving for different reasons. They're moving for job growth, obviously, but they're moving primarily because of high tax base and a declining economy, as opposed to what the Triangle has, which is a growth economy.
Mm. So with all these different economies, it's really kind of hard to make kind of sense. Is it kind of hard to make sense of the real estate market, or I mean, do you kind of feel like there's a trend? Do you feel like it's all kind of moving in the same direction?
Yeah, so that's a great question. If you go back and think of in my background prior to getting into residential sales, and I did that on purpose to try and help people make their dreams come true, both buying and selling, I was in finance, in real estate finance. So real estate is like anything else. It's a cyclical market. And what's happened over the last couple cycles is they've been very elongated, which means the good times lasted a lot longer, but the short time, the bad times are shorter. So when you think about recessions, and everyone's hearing the R word, you know, are we in a recession? If you look back at the last six recessions, only one of them had a material impact on house values. And that would have unfortunately been the one we all remember, 2008, 2010.
Right.
So what I think, you know, you need to do is really understand what home ownership is. You purchase a home not as an investment. You purchase a home to be a home. It is the only investment that you can live in. So you can't like call up your 401k and move in.
Right.
That is a huge benefit. The other thing I point out to folks too is you have to look at local appreciation rates. So again, year over year, our market is up about 25%. That is an unhealthy growth rate when you look at long-term cycles. Now that is starting to level off or plateau, but it's not decreasing, you know, primarily. If you go pre-pandemic and think about what was the appreciation rate in the Triangle area of North Carolina, or you could apply it to your own local market, our appreciation rate 5 years running was about 6.3% on average. So when I throw my finance hat on, and I have an English degree, I don't have a finance degree, but if your home is appreciating at a rate, a percentage that is higher than your borrowing costs, which is where we are today, even with the growth in interest rates, if you can buy, you probably should, because that's how you create wealth. It's the rise in equity.
That's beautiful. So, Tony, listen, we're going to wrap up here your segment of the show. Is there anything else that you would like to say to sellers and buyers before you go? And then tell us, how can they get a hold of you directly?
Sure. A couple things I would say is, you know, real estate agents are really there as professionals, and everybody at Linda Craft and team is truly a professional with your best interests at heart. So what I would think is go to our website, lindacraft.com. If you want to reach out to me, you certainly can call me. You can find me on LinkedIn. You can find me on Facebook. You can call me at 919-986-4146. But what I really say and what I really ask people to do is think about a real estate agent or realtor as a partner, an advisor that can give you guidance and be very honest with your intent. Nobody is trying to sell you anything.
Right.
So you can get an independent thought process and help you through the natural emotion that comes with buying, which is fear.
Yeah, beautiful. Thanks, Tony. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, Jay.
I can't wait to see you again on the show.
All right.
All right, we'll talk to you later. Hey, everybody, listen. You know what? We're here at the Linda Craft and Team Studios, and we got to talk about Linda Craft just a little bit. And here's the deal, right? Linda Craft and Team Realtors is independently owned locally. Why is that such a big deal? Well, I'll tell you why that's a big deal. The reason why that's such an important deal is because she's not affiliated with any sort of national company, which means that wherever you live, no matter where you're at in the world, she can find the best real estate agent for you. So she's not connected to a worldwide network. She's connected to the best real estate professionals. So you know what? When you're ready to sell your home, buy your home, regardless where you live, whether it be in the Triangle or whether it be, oh, I don't know, Italy, guess what? Linda Craft, she can help you and her team can help you, and they would love to do that. So check them out, Linda Craft and Team Realtors. And my next guest, speaking of which, is with Linda Craft and Team Realtors. His name is Andrew Truesdale. And Andrew is a listing and buyer specialist with Linda Craft and Team Realtors. And this is our sellers segment. And so, Andrew, first of all, welcome to the show.
Jay, thank you for having me.
Gift.
Oh, okay. Sorry. You brought me a gift. Oh.
Do you know why?
No. This is the Linda Craft and Team Realtors pack. Okay. Do I got to open it?
Okay. Well, first off, I think maybe 10,000 people have this bag in their house right now.
10,000 people have this bag.
Maybe more. But wait, before you unveil the gift, I'm hooked. What do you think this is for?
Probably because I talk a lot.
Well, we're going to get to that, but you do, and you do a great job of it, but I'll give you a hint, it's for our anniversary. Do you know why?
No.
Okay. It's our 10-year anniversary.
Oh, it's
at Linda Crafton Team.
It's 10 years for you.
Yep. And so I got this for you.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you.
Look at this. Big old Yeti.
Yep.
This is a big Yeti.
And it's a Rambler.
Oh, and it's a Rambler.
Rambler.
Because I'm a rambling man.
Yep. And it's big and strong.
It's big and strong. 46 ounces.
That's right.
Folks, I got to tell you, there's going to be a lot of lemonade drink out of this thing.
Yes.
I can promise you that. Thank you.
Yes. Well, you know, the modern gift for a 10-year anniversary is something aluminum tin related, so I felt like this is perfect for you.
Well, that's beautiful. Thank you.
Yep. I know you would have probably preferred some diamond earrings
or
something like that.
Yeah, diamond earrings especially.
Yep. It would have been great. It would have looked good on you.
That would have been great, Andrew.
Yep, but this is more you.
It is. Thank you.
That's happy anniversary.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the team.
No, thanks for being part of the team, and thanks for being on the show. Okay. So let's talk about sellers, because you've been working with sellers how many years now?
Probably seven, 8 years on the team. Yeah, long time.
Seven, 8 years.
Yeah,
it's been a while. And I know that you got a lot of stories. I mean, you've been through, because I've heard several of them, but you've been through some crazy stories and you've been through some challenging stories. What is a story, you know, based on what we're seeing maybe now, or maybe something that was seller who's just starting to sell or maybe isn't thinking about, what's a story that you've got?
Yeah. And, you know, when I was thinking about this to share with our listeners and viewers out there, it got me thinking about trust. Mm. And, you know, 10 years together, Linda Crafton Team Realtors, every good relationship is based around trust.
Right.
And when you think about sellers and choosing a top real estate agent like Linda Crafton Team Realtors, trust and how they view what we're going to be able to do for them with their goals is a huge part of the process.
Sure.
And so recently I was working with a seller client who just really blessed to have them in my life. They've been a repeat client for many years, worked with various family members and referrals through the process of getting to know them and building that trust.
Right.
And so near the end of last year, he found the perfect house to buy. And we were obviously in a crazy multiple offer situation, had to go thousands of dollars above the asking price to get him this property. And we got it. But now came the process of selling his house. And that's one of the biggest drags on sellers these days is, you know, how am I going to do both? How am I going to buy the house I want to buy and be able to sell my house for top dollar? Mm. So this seller did what a lot of sellers do, and they go online. And he got a valuation from a online iBuyer, and he told me about it. And I told him, I said, you know, I am sure that we are going to do better than this. And he put his trust in me, and we got his property ready for the market. And the whole time, you know, there's a lot of anxiety, there's a lot of stress that's going on for a seller, right? Got that new house they're thinking about, and then they've got to get their house sold for top dollar. And one of the number one things that he did to put his trust in my suggestions, you know, with the hundreds of seller closed transactions that I've been lucky enough to be a part of at Linda Crafton Team Realtors, I knew that showing off the condition of his property in the best light was going to just leaps and bounds help his property show itself off so that when buyers took a look at it, they were going to really appreciate it and put him in that crazy multiple offer over asking bidding situation.
Which is the best situation for a seller.
Of course. Yeah. Without a doubt.
That
is the value of this market.
Right.
But the challenge was, is that this particular seller really wasn't trying to go the route of what I was suggesting, which was, let's get your furniture out. And let's bring in one of the vendor options that we have at Linda Crafton.
Okay, stop. Okay, why are we trying to get the furniture out here?
Okay, well, what is the first thing you do after you've bought your home and moved in, Jay?
Fill it with stuff.
And usually it's old stuff, right?
Usually it's old stuff.
It's like
I can't afford new stuff.
That's right. Full transparency, my wife and I, when we moved here in 2005, we just did it up at Rooms to Go. I mean, literally bought all the comfy furniture and everything we could get our hands on. We were so excited. To this day, 2022, I still have almost all of that furniture.
All the rooms
I love it. It's the best. I love it. So comfy. And that's what a lot of sellers have. And that's what house. That's their stuff right there attached to it. They don't realize that what we're trying to do to get you the most money out of the marketplace, to get that multiple offer bidding situation, is to show your house off like a product now. And we're really trying to highlight that home and all of the wonderful spaces. So his furniture was fine. But the furniture that we could bring in through our vendor relationships was great. And it really was going to highlight that space. And so about a week before we're on the market, he calls me and he says, Andrew, you know what? I think you're right. Let's do it. And I said, yes, like trust. Right. Thank you for trusting me. Thank you for allowing me to put your home in the best position to get top dollar. You're not going to regret it. Right. So we hit the market. Photos look amazing. House shows great. The multiple offers just come rolling in. And by the end of the weekend, we had over 101,000 over asking price.
Wow.
101,000. And the next highest offer was 100,000 over asking price. So it was, and you know, we talk about it to this day, and he touches base, obviously, you know, he's been a wonderful referral partner and working with this family for so many years, so blessed. But now when we see each other, it's like, yeah, we did that. And it's one of those things that's super fulfilling as, somebody who's been in this industry for a long time. I mean, 10 years together it's been a great relationship, and I've gotten to work with and help so many clients and families. And it is so fulfilling to know that we've taken that client's goals, not only exceeded them, but kept them as a raving fan. And that's what we try and do with everyone that we meet.
Right.
First time buyer, first time seller, or long-term client. At Linda Craft and Team Realtors.
So here's the thing. I want to. And by the way, Coach Ken Goodfellow out of Kanata, Canada. Thanks for watching the show. You said it's a great show. It's great job, great info. Thanks, Ken. We appreciate you watching. He's a good friend from out there in Canada.
Ken.
Yeah, we love him, and we love him for sure. So let's talk about though something that you said in terms of selling a home that I want people to wrap their mind around here is, you did talk about trust, and I think we all kind of give that a given. But then it takes it a little bit further, because now what you're saying is, you can't just trust me with the price of your home. You have to kind of trust me with, I have some knowledge of how homes can be staged or look. Not that you're a stager, but there's more to it than just going numbers, right? Absolutely. When it comes to selling a home. I think that's what you're saying, isn't it?
Yeah, it's expertise. And I'm an expert in helping sellers sell their home for top dollar, not just in this amazing market for sellers. I mean, it's an amazing market right now for sellers. Mm. But, you know, I've been working with sellers back when the market was amazing for buyers. Mm. And strategically putting sellers and their properties in the best position to get top dollar is what we have the expertise and the experience to know how to do. And we really take pride in that. And I enjoy that because it's a lot of fun when you get to work with somebody and, you know, you've set an expectation and then you can exceed it by doing the right things. And that seller was great. You know, he's been great. He took the advice, and when he did come around to going about doing it the right way, he got exceptional results.
So let's talk about the seller's mindset here a little bit. Because, you know, we went from an iBuyer who gave them a offer.
Yep.
Right? Whatever that offer is, you know, but it was an iBuyer. But then the seller has to have a mindset of, you know, parting. And I've spoke about this at a conference, coincidentally, at Canada, for the Toronto Real Estate Board, about that we have this thing about our stuff, regardless of what it is, right? That I don't want to, you know, my stuff looks pretty darn good, right? I don't want to move my stuff. What is the transition for them? What's that transition for them to get on the other side of that, you know, in terms of going, yeah, but I don't want to get rid, I don't want to move my couch.
Right.
You know, or how about this one? I don't want to take the pictures that my children drawn off the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how do you handle that?
Yeah, and it's a fine line that you have to walk, because it doesn't matter if you've been in your home for a year or 10 years, you have a connection and attachment with your home. you've made it your home. You've personalized it. You brought in your furniture. You filled it with your stuff. Right. You've shown off all your pictures on all the walls or the refrigerator, right. which ironically we're working with the seller right now to get all the little, you know, tacks and everything off of her refrigerator. And it's one of those things where it goes back to that word that I used in the beginning, trust. Mm. You're trusting me, you're trusting Linda Craft and Team Realtors to put you in the best position to succeed.
Right.
And at the end of the day, hopefully we've already secured that new home for you, but right, you know there's going to be somewhere that you're going that you're going to make that new place, that new property, your next home. And you're going to allow yourself to be able to move the personalization from one property to the next. And for a buyer, this is the most important thing. A buyer wants to establish an emotional connection with your home.
Mm.
When a buyer establishes an emotional connection with your home and can see their stuff mm-hmm. in your home,
mm-hmm.
they're going to want to pay you top dollar. They're going to want to bid 100 or 101,000 over asking price. They're going to want to do everything they can because now they've already seen them in the home with their stuff and they're just waiting for the keys and closing day.
Yeah, so maybe the key to it is if you want the buyer to buy your home, get your stuff out so they can envision your home with their stuff in it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yep.
This is great info, Andrew. I want to add, listen. I don't know if you have anything to add, but if you do, add it. But also tell people how they can get a hold of you and reach you, especially to list their home or to buy a home.
Absolutely. And you know, for the listeners out there, and Ralph, we're ready to list your home when you are. Thank you for tuning in and giving us that feedback. You can reach me at 919-830-1551. That's my direct line. Obviously, reach me through our website. We've got a wonderful chat feature there. And my email is andrew@lindacraft.com. And for a lot of sellers who are thinking, well, you know, gosh, if it was so easy to just move my stuff out and bring in your wonderful furniture, just know we've got plenty of options to help you work with your stuff and really show it off in the best light. And that's something that Linda's been doing for decades. And I know that I've been lucky enough to be a part of for the last decade. And it's taking your property, your situation, and fine-tuning it so that you get the best results and become a raving fan of Linda Craft and Team Realtors.
Andrew, you were awesome. Thank you.
You're awesome, Jay. Happy anniversary, buddy.
All right. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Hey, everybody, listen, you know what? Linda Craft and Team Realtors, are you looking for a place? Are you a real estate agent here in the Research Triangle Park? And you are looking, are you looking for a place to call home? Maybe you're not happy where you're at right now. Maybe you need a little bit more. Maybe you need that atmosphere of, you know, like what we do here. You know, we have some fun. You clearly hear that we have some fun here as you're listening to the show. But maybe it's something more. Maybe you want a family atmosphere. Maybe you want an atmosphere where you've got some of the top people who are going to coach you and guide you, who are going to coach you and guide you on your way. So when you're interested maybe in becoming a, or changing, right? You know, why not consider Linda Craft and Team Realtors as a place for you that you can change or maybe come and become a real estate professional with us here. Why not come in? We'd love to have you. We'd love to chat with you. You can contact Linda at lindacraft.com. That's L-I-N-D-A at L-I-N-D-A-C-R-A-F-T.com. And I'm here with Kim Crump, listing specialist, buyer specialist. And this is our buyer segment. This is the segment where we're going to talk a story about a buyer, something that Kim's got a story, buyer story. And then we're going to ask some questions about buyers, especially in this market. So Kim, welcome to the show. Hold on. I don't have you on. Let's try it again. Kim, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Okay. There
right.
we go.
Yeah. We're, by the way, this is show one, folks. So we do have some glitches occasionally. All right. So let's talk about buyers because you've worked with buyers. You've been here since
2011.
So 11 years.
Mm-hmm. So, you can do the math on that.
Yeah, I just did. I just sadly, that's just sad that I would, that I have to calculate that out. That's just awful. So let's talk about in the process of you working with buyers. I know you said you had a buyer story.
I sure do.
So tell us about the buyers.
Yeah, the shift that we're seeing, mm-hmm. and this was really interesting because being in the midst of real estate and really pounding the pavement and watching the changes mm-hmm. in the market, this was something really stood out. I had some relocation clients moving from out of state, and this was a family. So they weren't here to view the homes. They would ask me to sit, do the virtual tour of the home. Yeah, so we'd go out, we'd take a look at homes virtually. And of course, with these coming soon homes, we've seen a lot of these homes sell before they even hit the market. Mm. So it's been really stressful for buyers. And they were under the impression that this is what they were going to have to do. In order for them to relocate out of state here, they would have to buy a house sight unseen and rely on my knowledge and my expertise going through the house. Right. Now, they then, of course, they had to sell their house in the state that they were in. And unfortunately, their market had started turning before ours. And
when you say turn,
they listed their property and they actually sold for $60,000 less.
Oh, ouch.
Yes. So that was a really big surprise for them.
Oh, that's a huge surprise.
So then that brought hesitations when they came to buy a property here. Now, this all happened, of course, in a span of 2 months. So we find a property they really, really love, and there were no photos up. And of course, that's terrifying for a buyer.
Yeah, because you don't know what you're buying, right? They can't tell what you're buying, right?
You don't know. You're hoping, you're thinking, you see the exterior photos because we only have to put three photos online. And thankfully, we were able to see some builder photos from a previous listing. So we knew what the floor plan looked like. It looked perfect. We did do a sight unseen offer. And we actually went in. So let's say this house was listed in the high 600s. We went in at an offer price of 5% over list price.
Okay, so $30,000.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, a little bit more than $30,000.
Again, that was me trying to do math on the fly.
That's what I need my phone. I need my calculator.
I need my calculator on my phone. I know, right? I'm just doing this in my head.
So, yes, we went in above list price. Now, what was interesting, we understood it hadn't hit the market yet. So we went in with very high due diligence fee. And the sellers actually countered back at 9% higher than list price. So instead of 30, accepting our offer, that escalated very quickly. And my clients, after what they had experienced in Nebraska, had decided, you know what? No, we're not going to pay that price. We figured that we had given you a really great offer, and they decided to keep looking. Well, a week later, that house is still on the market. And in the meantime, we were able to go and schedule a viewing, take a look at the property.
So this is, now this will be the first time you've seen the house?
In person,
In person, okay.
Yes. Okay. So the photos came online. And we walk into the house, and thankfully for my buyer, they did not accept that offer because the floors were really, really scratched up. As we all know, you don't know what the photos are going to the house is really going to be like from the photos. I mean, you hope for the best. As a realtor, sometimes we anticipate the worst. Because we've seen a lot. We walk through the house and the floors were really, really scuffed up. And they were the type of floors which couldn't be refinished. So they would have had to pull up all the flooring. And the walls, all the walls were blue and yellow. Blue and yellow, not the gray that the builder had put in. Anyway.
So we had colored walls, scratched up floors.
Yes.
And so what did your buyers think at that moment?
Thank you for not accepting our offer, Mr. Seller. That is exactly what those buyers.
They ran?
Well, they decided, you know what? We still really like the house, but it's not worth what we offered. So they went back in with another offer on this property, and it was only 2% higher than list price. Because I will say the listing agent did a great job. It was listed at a good price. So, and coincidentally, I knew the neighborhood very well because a month before I had sold the house directly behind this one. So I knew it very well. And I knew the comparables in the neighborhood. Really well-built homes. And the buyers were very hesitant after seeing the home. So the sellers could have walked away with a lot more money. However, because they decided to counter back at a high price, way higher, my buyers countered at a lower price, and we did go under contract. But the shift that we're seeing is real because there was no other offers on that property. So it was not a multiple offer situation, and these sellers had expected multiple offers. They had expected way above list price, and they did get above list price. Mm-hmm. However, they could have gotten more. Mm. I think sellers' expectations right now, though, coming from January, February, March, and you couldn't even breathe before you got into a house and it was sold.
Right.
And it's shifting. So
let's talk about that for a second. Because, you know, there's a lot of information out there. I mean, we know that pricing is still pretty high.
It is.
But
I don't know if I would say high. I would say, of course, we've appreciated to prices that locals in our area are still taken back.
Mm.
And realtors who've been in the business for years are really surprised at how much our homes have appreciated.
Mm.
So yes, home prices in relation to what they used to be are a lot higher.
Mm.
However, there are plenty of comparable sales out there. And so instead of going higher,
right,
plateauing.
Got it. Okay, so are you seeing it to become a little bit more of a buyer's market? I guess we need to define what that really means, buyer's market, or are we?
Sure. No, we still don't have very much inventory.
Okay.
Inventory is growing, which is good.
Okay.
And I do enjoy seeing the listings coming up every week, because I'm copied on all of the listings that my buyers receive.
Right.
So I can keep my eyes open too, in case I see something and I know it really well, and we can go and see that house right away. However, there doesn't seem that sense of urgency in what they used to be before.
What about multiple buyer? I mean, are we seeing a lot of multiple buyer situations?
Multiple offers. Yeah. In certain sections of town.
Mm.
There are always going to be very desirable properties, which will have multiple offers.
Right.
So I think for sellers, you really need to keep in mind, of course, your condition of your home.
Sure.
And I'm sure Andrew was speaking to that.
Yeah, he did.
The condition of your home,
right.
Because if you're in competition with another home, my buyer is going to come along and choose the best condition for the best price.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
So the multiple offers that we see in North Hills area, it's such a popular area now.
Mm.
Cary, North Raleigh, anywhere that we see really great school systems are always going to be highly desirable.
Mm.
But when you get a little further out, or if you have a different floor plan that may not suit a lot of people, then they're a tougher sale.
Mm.
But yes, we still are seeing multiple offers on the good properties. So as a seller, you're still wanting to present your home as best you possibly can, because it's going to give you the best return.
So what advice are you giving buyers? I mean, maybe you give different advice depending
on buyers. There is hope. It's all good. Come on back. So for those of you who kind of dropped off the wayside because you were concerned you didn't have 20,000, 50,000 in due diligence, you can come back. Start rethinking this market. Start rethinking and taking a look, because we are seeing more inventory come available, which means in a buyer's market, of course, we'll have way more listings than we do buyers for those properties. And that's when it would flip. I would not say we are definitely not in a buyer's market yet.
Okay.
No. But we are in a lot more of a manageable market. And it's not as stressful for buyers and agents right now seeing more inventory. And there's hope.
Okay, let's talk about this for a second, because I think, you know, if you're a consumer of real estate and you're trying to buy a home, I think we all understand the stress that you're going through. But we don't talk a lot about the stress that your agent goes through.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us a little bit about, you know, the stress that you feel when you're trying to find a buyer home.
Well, I feel it with them every step of the way. Because in whatever profession you work in, you're good at your job,
right?
You know what you're doing. You're in a bubble.
Right.
So I'm in a real estate bubble That is my world. That is our world.
Right.
And the expectations of buyers, when they can't get a home, as we saw in the beginning of the year, it's very, very stressful because that is our job. Mm. That is what we are here for. And to find properties now, it's getting easier. Mm-hmm. So it's not as stressful. But yes, from a real estate agent's perspective, for those of us who do it full time and really pound the pavement, it's stressful because we care. We really care about our clients.
Right.
And we want to make sure that when they move into their home, they love it.
Right.
They're going to create a new chapter in their life.
Right.
And we're part of that. So, yes, we feel the stress all the way through. And these sight unseen offers, we know that, yes, they are very stressful for buyers. They are just as stressful for agents. Mm.
Yeah, I think it's just really kind of interesting. We don't talk about it much. You know, I think, you know, we don't understand that, you know, when you care about your job, you know, and you love what you do.
And
by the way,
I do.
People, as you're watching or you're listening, going to be listening to this on a podcast, you may notice that Kim does not sound like she's from North Carolina. It's because she's from further south on the other side of the pond. She's from Australia. And so you may hear that voice. You can almost listen to her all day long, by the way. I've said that she could read the side of a cereal box and you'd just be perfectly happily listening to that as well. If you want to do that, if you wanted to just literally call Kim Crump and ask her to just read.
Let's just
read the side of a Cheerios box for me, please, Kim. Thank you. That would be great. I just don't think that we talk very much about, you know,
the other side of it.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think we, you know, listen, I understand that you want to get into the house, but you want them to get into a house too.
Absolutely.
It's not like,
absolutely.
I mean, you want them
to, this is my job. Right, this is how I support my family.
Right, right. But not only that, it's like, but you don't want to just get them into any house. You want to get them into the house that's right
for them.
For them.
And it takes, personally, it will take me one tour. And when I say one tour, the first time we go out looking at homes, it's really important if a buyer doesn't know what they want, that we choose some homes that may be a little different, one from the other, so we can really narrow down what they're looking for. Because until you step inside a house, you don't really know what you want. You don't know what kind of space is going to work for you. And when I walk into a house and I see those buyers, and their faces light up and you can feel the energy. You can feel this is right for you. That gives me an idea of what they're looking for. Right. And then I can go and save them a lot of time by knowing what their style is, what their requirements are. If they have kids, if they don't have kids, you know, what is important to you as a buyer.
Right. That's awesome. All right. So, I don't know if you got anything else that you want to add, but how can people get a hold of you if they want to sell their home or buy their home? How do they get a hold of you, Kim?
They could throw a boomerang.
Throw a boomerang. That's beautiful.
Play a didgeridoo. I'll hear you. I'll find you.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
You can reach me directly, kim@lindacraft.com, or on my direct line, which is 919-605-6045. All socials, you can find me on all social media platforms as well.
And it's an easy name because it's one syllable, Kim Crump.
With a C.
With a C. Yeah, it's not with a K.
It's with a C.
It's Kim Crump. It was Kim Crump. Kim, thanks so much for being on.
Thank you for having me, Coach.
I can't wait for you to come back on again.
I will. Okay. I will come back on.
Did you have a good time with doing this, by the way?
I did. I'm just trying to get used to this whole
microphone
ear things.
Awesome.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot. Okay, you heard from Kim Crump. She is a listing specialist and buyer specialist here at Linda Crafted Team Realtors here at the Linda Crafted Team Studios. You know what? Linda Craft and the team has been, I don't know if you know this, you may not know this, but Linda's been around for over 35 years selling real estate. As a matter of fact, Her clients to this day call her the legend of customer service, and it's the reason why they keep coming back year after year. Matter of fact, her very first client was in 1985, and that client still comes back today. You know, that says something, right? When your very first client from 1985 still comes back today, it says something about how you take care of your people, and Linda certainly has done that. So, you know what? When you're ready to buy or sell real estate, start with Linda Craft and Team Realtors. You can learn more by going to lindacraft.com. That's LindaCraft.com. My next guest is with Advantage Lending. His name is Paul Fitz, and he is a mortgage lender there at Advantage. And Paul, how long have you been in mortgage?
23 years. That's painful, I know. 23 years, yeah.
23?
It's been a long time.
23 years.
I started when I was six.
Yeah. Yeah, well, okay, we're not even going to
go there. I was a prodigy.
We are not even going to go there.
Math prodigy.
We're not even going to go there.
Six.
So let's, a lot of, there's been a lot said about recently about mortgage rates. There's been a lot said about the mortgage industry and what's going on in terms of since during the pandemic and now that we're coming outside of the pandemic. So help us get wrap our minds around what's going around mortgages right now, mortgage rates and those type of things that sellers and buyers need to know.
Okay, brief, 10-second synopsis on this.
Sure.
You know, rates have crept up in the last few months. Interest rates were, during the pandemic time, they were 2.25%. I mean, everybody was getting basically what we call free money.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right. So now reality has set in. It's no longer free money. There's a price to pay. The price is, rates are about 5.75, 5.5. They're just fluctuating a little bit. I did a podcast with somebody the other day. The good news is eventually rates are going to come back down. We are still on a 40-year down cycle of interest rates. So as long as that 10-year treasury note doesn't creep above that 3.25 or 3.2%, we'll kind of hover in this area of the 5.75 to 6 to 5.5 for a little while. Mm-hmm. We're going to see a little bit of settling in the bond market when people start buying bonds again. Rates are going to come back down again. So I want for all of you buyers out there who have recently bought a home, don't panic. You're not going to be settled. You're not going to be saddled with a 5.5% interest rate forever. You're actually going to get some relief down the road. Maybe 12, 18, 19 months, you'll start seeing rates start to creep back down.
Now, you're really confident about this. I mean, you and I have talked about this off air.
Yeah.
And you're extraordinarily confident about this interest rate thing, that it's not going to get higher. Explain to the general public who may not understand it why you're so high or maybe convinced that it's not going to, if it makes sense.
No, I base everything on the bond market. It's not magic. It's not the Fed. There's a lot of factors that go involved in having interest rates. People talk about they're worried about the Fed, but remember, rates were really creeping up before the Federal Reserve even raised interest rates this year. Mm-hmm. So it's been the multitude of factors that started driving rates up. It's part of inflation, part of the prices of oil. We can go through every part of the microcosm. But at the end of the day, if you still look at the 40-year chart, the last 40 years, we have been on a down decline on interest rates. We were at 16-18% back in 1981.
Right.
When I got into the business in 99, I was doing loans at 8%, and everybody would probably still freak out if they saw an 8% interest rate.
Right.
But since the 80s, it has literally been a down escalator. There have been spikes up, but I will say that over the last 6 months has been the greatest rate spike in that 40-year period. That would cause a lot of people to have flashbacks of the 80s if they were doing business at that period of time.
Right.
But again, the stability in our bond market versus bond markets across the world, if you look at the German Bund or the British Gilt, I mean, those bonds are still close to zero or even negative rates.
Right.
So as long as they have negative rates, our rates look pretty good. People are going to invest in our markets.
Mm. Okay. So, when Linda got into the business back in 1985, interest rates were like 18%.
Yeah. She was selling houses though.
Right. Yeah. She was selling houses at 18%.
Correct.
So you're saying that we're not going to see that.
No, we're not going to see 18%. We're not going to see double digit interest rates.
Okay.
The truth is six and a quarter maybe might be our peak, mm-hmm. but after that we're literally going to go back on the downside.
So, I mean, people talk about inflation a lot. They talk about that, you know, well, they got to raise rates to help bring down or, you know, curb inflation.
Slow it down. Slow the economy.
How about slow it down, yeah. I guess is right. Yeah. But the truth of the matter is, I mean, if inflation keeps increasing, isn't that a recipe for higher interest rates?
As inflation increases, it doesn't necessarily just drive where interest rates go.
Okay.
Again, what we've seen over the last let's call it a year. Let's just call it a year. What we've seen over the last year is a changing in our market in general. And I'm not talking about the rate market. I'm talking about the economy in general. Price of gasoline is higher. You go to the grocery store, eggs are higher, milk is higher, bacon is higher. Everything is higher. They're even, and Kim and I talked about this before, they're even reducing the size of packages and still selling the price at a higher price because businesses are trying to economize. So all of these factors being involved, having the higher rates has still been basically a jawboning effect from the Federal Reserve. Mm-hmm. They've been talking about all these factors, scaring people into selling bonds. Oh, we got to put the brakes on the economy so we can figure this out. It's I would love to call it science, but really and truly, it's more like alchemy, mm-hmm. more than anything else. It is a combination of everything mm-hmm. to make it go where they want
right,
it to go.
Right.
But once you understand how the charts work, once you understand how the bonds work, you can figure out where rates are going to go. We haven't seen the last of low interest rates. We'll see them again. It's a guarantee.
So let's talk about what's going on with you and what you're seeing personally in the mortgage lending arena. What are you seeing? I mean, like in terms of, are you seeing the same number of buyers coming into the market? Are you seeing fewer? Are you seeing price changes, you know, different pricing?
We haven't seen a slowdown on people applying for loan applications. Mm. You know, they've been doing loan applications. We're still doing pre-qualifications. There has been a slowdown on contracts. The good news for that, even though people are kind of reevaluating their current income and their current outflow, they've been scared off by the higher rates. Mm. The truth is, this is a better time for them to buy than any other time. And the reason why is because a lot of other people have been scared out of the market. Mm. If you are in a position to still buy, you should buy knowing that you can refinance down the road and save yourself, you know, $400, $500, you know, $700 a month on your payment. Mm. Because if you wait to buy the house, and the house increases in value, you're not going to be able to refinance off $100,000 of value.
Right.
But you can always bring that interest rate down.
Right.
And they're going to come down.
So that's a strategy, actually. I think what I'm hearing you say, correct me if I'm wrong, which, by the way, is not uncommon, as we both know.
But you're wrong, Jay.
But I mean, what I think I'm hearing you say is, okay, now we've got maybe a few less buyers in the market.
Correct.
So you've got less competition.
Yep.
Which means that you could probably buy a house where you couldn't maybe 6 months ago.
Right. Too many people trying to buy fewer products at that time.
Right. Yep. And so even though the interest rate's higher.
Correct.
It actually can be a better deal for you than what was 6 months ago.
Correct. I mean, well, it'll be less competition fighting for the same product.
Okay.
And in doing that, once you've weeded out some of your competition, you can win the bid on the property. We've noticed that in contracts now that people aren't having to offer $100,000 in due diligence. They're not having to go over $50,000 in asking price now.
Right.
We've seen the numbers come down just a little bit,
right,
which benefits the buyer.
Right.
The rate doesn't benefit the buyer right now, but because so many people have slowed down and they've walked away from the market, so to speak, while they reevaluate, this gives people who are really qualified an opportunity to buy something today that could literally save them thousands in payments later on down the road.
So you and I talked, I think this is about a week or 10 days ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, about how you even had this kind of this cool plan of if you bought today and then you refinanced your house, that mortgage insurance, you could get rid of your PMI or
easy. Yeah.
First of all, explain to a new buyer what PMI is, right? Because, I mean, it's a trap.
It's a trap. It's a trap.
Borrowing a Star Wars. Go ahead. Tell them what that is, really.
Now, PMI doesn't help the borrower for anything. It's an insurance policy that covers the lender in case of default, correct? Okay. So there's no benefit to the buyer to having mortgage insurance. All it does is allow a buyer who has less than 20%. It allows them the opportunity to purchase the property.
Okay.
But the way house prices have risen in this area in the last 6 to 8 months, people can have PMI waived from their mortgage now. In other words, if they're making a payment, they've got principal, interest, taxes, insurance, and mortgage insurance. If your house has increased in value over the last 6 to 8 months, you can get the servicer to waive that without having to refinance and keep your 3% rate, get rid of your PMI, and love your payment even more.
That's beautiful. All right, so is there something I should have asked you that I didn't ask you?
I'll bring it up.
Okay.
I've been doing this for a long time, and over the last 5 years, attorneys have gotten away from bringing certified funds to closing. They really want people to wire funds to closing. We had a client recently. She was defrauded. There was an email sent to her that it looked like it was being sent from the attorney. And that email gave her instructions on how to send money to this account. And it was not the attorney's account. And thankfully, her banker intervened in this because her banker was saying, hey, did you call to make sure these were the right instructions? Even though the wire had been sent, they contacted the forwarding bank. That bank sent the funds back. The purpose of me telling you this, I want all agents, when you're working with clients, please talk to your clients to let them know that they need to talk to the attorney first before wiring $60,000, $80,000, $100,000 out of their bank account, because they may not get that money back. The wire scam fraud has been a thing for years, and people are getting away with it, and there's no way you can reclaim that money once it's gone.
Okay. So what's the safety precautions now?
Tony Fink and I talked about this before. Mm-hmm. Usually what the buyer's agent does is the buyer's agent will, once the contract is in place, the buyer's agent will say, hey, I'm going to get you in contact with the lender, get you in contact with the attorney.
Right.
Once the communication has been established, then the buyer should feel safe enough to know to talk to that person at the attorney's office, the paralegal, to say, okay, just send me your wire instructions. And they'll communicate again before they send the wire, before they send the wire to closing. Tony and I have talked about that. I know Kim, Andrew, they're all experienced agents. These agents know how to stay on top of it. If you're working with a rookie agent, and I'm not trying to offend rookie agents but please stay on top of your money, because if you do wire it away, you're never going to get it back. That's theft.
That's awesome advice. Okay, so Paul, how can somebody get hold of you if they've got a mortgage question, or they want to refinance, I want to buy? How can they do that?
Need somebody to talk with you on your podcast? Anything? I'm here. you can email me pfitts at advantagelending.com. You can call me 919-612-0043. I'll be honest with you. I give folks advice, even if I'm not going to help them with their mortgage. I help folks with their credit. Again, even if I'm not going to do their mortgage, as a person who's been a really successful mortgage lender in this market, I've truly do believe in giving back, and I want to help folks understand what it means to be homeowners, and I want to help them get on the right steps to do that. So
that's awesome. Thank you, Paul. Folks, you know what? This is the show, right? The Real Real Estate Show. You heard real estate today. That's what you heard. Catherine Truesdale, thank you so much for watching. We appreciate that. And thank you for everyone who has been watching the show. We appreciate you so much, and all the loves and all the likes that you've given us. We really appreciate it. Listen, this show is going to go to iTunes, and of course, it will be distributed across other podcast platforms around the country and around the world. So listen, if you hear us on a podcast, please give us a like. And you know what? Why not say, wow, this is a really great show. We'd love to hear something from you as well. So as far as the Real Real Estate Show, this is this week. We'll be back next week with another Real Real Estate Show. We can't wait to see you. So from all of us here at the Linda Craft and Team Studios, we'd like you to say, have a great rest of your week. We can't wait to see you soon.
Gotta bring myself upstairs.
be alright.